Space Shuttle Challenger Disaster from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. For further information about Challenger's mission and crew, see STS-51-L. The Space Shuttle Challenger Disaster was a space disaster that occurred at 11:39 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 28, 1986, when the NASA Space Shuttle Challenger disintegrated 73 seconds into its flight after an O-ring seal in its right solid rocket booster failed. The seal failure caused a flame leak from the solid rocket booster that impinged upon the adjacent external propellant tank. Within seconds, the flame caused structural failure of the external tank and the orbiter broke up abruptly due to aerodynamic forces. The shuttle was destroyed and all seven crew members were killed. The crew compartment and many other vehicle fragments were eventually recovered from the ocean floor after a lengthy search and recovery operation. The disaster resulted in a 32-month hiatus in the shuttle program and the formation of the Rogers Commission, a special commission appointed by President Ronald Reagan to investigate the accident. The Rogers Commission found that NASA's organizational culture and decision-making processes had been a key contributing factor to the accident. NASA managers had known that contractor Morton Thiokol, design of the solid rocket boosters, contained a potentially catastrophic flaw, but failed to address it properly. They also ignored warnings from engineers about the dangers of launching on such a cold day, and had failed to adequately report these technical concerns to their superiors. The Rogers Commission offered NASA 9 recommendations that were to be implemented before shuttle flights resumed. Many schoolchildren saw the launch live due to the presence on the crew of Krista McAuliffe, the first member of the Teacher in Space project. Media coverage of the accident was extensive. One study reported that 85% of Americans surveyed in a poll had heard the news within an hour of the accident. The Challenger disaster had been used as a case study in many discussions of engineering safety and workplace ethics, and has inspired both a television movie, Challenger, which was made in 1990, and a theatrical movie of the same name, scheduled for release in 2008. Section 1. Pre-launch conditions and delays. Challenger's launch was originally set for 2:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 22nd. However, delays suffered by the previous mission, STS-61-C, caused the launch date to be pushed back to the 23rd and then to the 24th. Challenger needed parts from Columbia, but numerous delays prevented Columbia from returning as scheduled. Launch was then rescheduled for the 25th due to bad weather at the Transoceanic Abort landing site in Dakar, Senegal. NASA decided to use Casablanca as the Transoceanic Abort landing site, but because it was not equipped for night landings, the launch had to be moved to the morning, Florida time. Predictions of unacceptable weather at Kennedy Space Center caused the launch to be rescheduled for 9:37 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 27th. The launch was delayed the next day by problems with the exterior access hatch. First, one of the microswitch indicators used to verify the hatch was safely locked malfunctioned. Then, a stripped bolt prevented the closeout crew from removing a closing fixture from the orbiter's hatch. When the fixture was finally sawn off, crosswinds at the shuttle landing facility exceeded the limits for a return to launch site abort. The crew waited for winds to die down until the launch window finally ran out, forcing yet another scrub. Forecasts for the 28th predicted an unusually cold morning, with temperatures close to 31 degrees Fahrenheit. The shuttle cannot be launched in temperatures below 31 degrees Fahrenheit. The low temperatures had prompted concern from engineers at Morton Thiokol, the contractor responsible for the construction and maintenance of the shuttle's solid rocket boosters. At a teleconference which took place on the evening of the 27th, Thiokol engineers and managers discussed the weather conditions with NASA managers from Kennedy Space Center and Marshall Space Flight Center. Several engineers, most notably Roger Boisjoli, expressed their concern about the effect of the temperature on the resilience of the rubber O-rings that sealed the joints of the solid rocket boosters. They argued that if the O-rings were colder than 53 degrees Fahrenheit, approximately 11.7 degrees Celsius, there was no guarantee they would seat properly. They also argued that the cold overnight temperatures would almost certainly result in solid rocket booster temperatures below their red line of 40 degrees Fahrenheit. However, they were overruled by Morton Thiokol management, and Morton Thiokol recommended that the launch proceed as scheduled. Due to the low temperatures, a significant amount of ice built up on the fixed service structure that stood beside the shuttle. Although the Kennedy ice team had worked through the night removing ice, engineers at Rockwell International, the shuttle's prime contractor, still expressed concern. They warned that ice might be shaken loose during launch and might either strike the shuttle or be aspirated by its main engine. Managers at Rockwell told shuttle program manager Arnold Aldrich that they could not assure that it was safe to launch. However, the wording they used led Aldrich to believe that they were in favor of a launch. NASA engineers working with the same data concluded there was little risk of jeopardy. However, Aldrich did agree to postpone the shuttle launch by an hour in order to give the ICE team the time to perform another inspection. After that last inspection, during which the ice appeared to be melting, Challenger was finally cleared to launch at 11:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Section 2, January 28th, Launch and Failure. Section 2.1, Liftoff and Initial Ascent. The following account of the accident is derived from real-time telemetry data and photographic analysis, as well as from transcripts of air-to-ground and mission control voice communications. All times are given in seconds after launch and correspond to the telemetry time codes from the closest instrumented event to each described event. At 6.6 seconds before liftoff, the three space shuttle main engines ignited. Until liftoff actually occurs, the space shuttle main engines can be safely shut down and the launch aborted if necessary. At liftoff time, T equals 0, which was at 11:38, 0 seconds, 0.01 Eastern Standard Time, the three space shuttle main engines were at 100% of their original rated performance and began throttling up to 104% under computer control. At this moment, the two solid rocket boosters were ignited and hold-down bolts were released with explosives, freeing the vehicle from the pad. With the first vertical motion of the vehicle, the gaseous hydrogen vent arm retracted from the external tank, but failed to latch back. Review of film shot by pad cameras showed that the arm did not contact the vehicle, and thus it was ruled out as a contributing factor in the accident. The post-launch inspection of the pad also revealed that kick springs on four of the hold-down bolts were missing, but they were similarly ruled out as a possible cause. Later review of launch film showed that at T plus 0.678 seconds, Strong puffs of dark gray smoke were emitted from the right-hand solid rocket booster near the aft strut that attaches the booster to the external tank. The last smoke puff occurred at about T plus 2.733 seconds. The last view of smoke around the strut was at T plus 3.375 seconds. It was later determined that these smoke puffs were caused by the opening and closing of the aft field joint of the right-hand solid rocket booster. The booster's casing had ballooned under the stress of ignition. As a result of this ballooning, the metal parts of the casing bent away from each other, opening a gap through which hot gases above 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, 2,760 degrees Celsius, leaked out. The primary O-ring was too cold to seat properly, while the secondary O-ring was not in its seated position due to the metal bending. There was now no barrier to the gases, and both O-rings were vaporized across 70 degrees of arc. However, aluminum oxides from the burned solid propellant sealed the damaged joint, temporarily replacing the O-ring seal before actual flame rushed through the joint. As the vehicle cleared the tower, the space shuttle main engines were operating at 104% of their rated maximum thrust, and control was switched from the Launch Control Center at Kennedy Space Center to the Mission Control Center in Houston, Texas. To prevent aerodynamic forces from tearing the shuttle apart, at T plus 28 seconds, the space shuttle main engines began throttling down to limit the velocity of the shuttle in the dense lower atmosphere. At T plus 35.379 seconds, the space shuttle main engines throttled back further to the planned 65%. 5 seconds later, at about 19,000 feet, Challenger passed through Mach 1. At T plus 51.860 seconds, the space shuttle main engines began throttling back up to 104% as the vehicle approached max Q, the period of maximum aerodynamic pressure on the vehicle. Section 2.2. Plume. Just as the shuttle approached max Q, it slammed through the most intense wind shear ever experienced to date in the space shuttle program. At T plus 58.788 seconds, a tracking film camera captured the beginning of a plume near the aft attach strut on the right solid rocket booster. Unknown to those on Challenger or in Houston, ignited gas had begun to leak through a growing hole in one of the right-hand solid rocket booster's joints. The force of the wind shear shattered the temporary oxide seal that had taken the place of the damaged O-rings, removing the last barrier to flame rushing through the joint. Within a second, the plume became well-defined and intense. Internal pressure in the right solid rocket booster began to drop because of the rapidly enlarging hole in the failed joint, and at T plus 60.238 seconds, there was visual evidence of flame coming through the joint and impinging on the external tank. At T plus 64.660 seconds, the plume suddenly changed shape, indicating that a leak had begun in the liquid hydrogen tank located in the aft portion of the external tank. The nozzle of the main engine pivoted under computer control to compensate for the unbalanced thrust produced by the booster's burn-through. The pressure in the shuttle's external liquid hydrogen tank began to drop at T plus 66.764 seconds, indicating the effect of the leak. At this stage, the situation still seemed normal both to the astronauts and to flight controllers. At T plus 68 seconds, the Capcom informed the crew that they were go at throttle up, and Commander Dick Scobie confirmed the call. His response, "Roger, Go at throttle up was the last communication from Challenger on the air to ground.